You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. The headlines this week. Days of brutality. Four New York Times reporters describe their detention in Libya after being released, while three AFP journalists are also freed. The government consultation on News Corporation's undertakings in the bid for Sky B closes, revealing media group criticisms of the plans. And the phone hacking affair continues as a senior police officer denies accusations of misleading MPs. It's Friday, the 25th of March. I'm Sarah Marshall, and here are the top news stories this week from journalism.co.uk. Seven journalists detained in Libya have been released this week. On Wednesday, two journalists from news agency Agence France-Presse and a Getty Images photographer were freed after being arrested on Saturday in Ajdabia. AFP's chairman and chief executive said the release of the trio was the fruit of the mobilisation of the entire AFP editorial staff and the agency as a whole. Their release followed that of four New York Times journalists earlier this week who reported on what they called days of brutality in detention in Libya in a joint article on the New York Times website. The four members of staff described the 6 days they spent in detention, including claims of being blindfolded, beaten and taunted. In a report this week, the Committee to Protect Journalists claimed that since the revolt in Libya began in February, more than 50 attacks on the press have been documented, including two fatalities, more than 33 detentions and five assaults. There's been further criticism this week of the planned spin-off of Sky News as an undertaking in News Corporation's bid for B Sky B. In a submission to a government consultation which closed this week, trade union Bektu said the undertakings from News Corp are completely inadequate. Meanwhile, rivals to Sky News, including the companies behind the Daily Telegraph, the Daily Mirror, the Daily Mail and the Guardian, along with BT, said News Corp's offer would make Sky News almost entirely dependent on News Corporation, and that it would be fanciful to expect that Sky News will enjoy any meaningful independence. Culture Secretary Jeremy Hunt announced earlier this month that he'd accepted a proposal by News Corporation to hive off Sky News as an undertaking in its bid for B Sky B, and would not be referring the bid to the Competition Commission if he still felt, after consultation, that it would address concerns over media plurality. A senior officer in the Metropolitan Police this week denied he'd misled MPs over the phone hacking affair. Appearing before the Culture, Media and Sports Select Committee, John Yates, who's now Acting Deputy Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, said MP Chris Bryant had been mistaken in his claims about the Met's investigation into the scandal. Yates volunteered to go before the committee after being accused of misleading MPs in claiming there were only 8 to 12 victims of News of the World hacking. In January, a new police inquiry was announced into phone hacking after additional information was provided to the Metropolitan Police by the News of the World, which indicated there may be many more victims. A new valuation of the BBC's pensions has wiped £500 million off the BBC's pension deficit, Director General Mark Thompson claimed this week. Proposed changes to the BBC's pension scheme, negotiated and agreed last year, will also help save hundreds of jobs, he said in an email to staff. The pension deficit, previously estimated to stand between £1.5 billion and £2 billion, was this week formally assessed at £1.6 billion as at April 2010. The National Union of Journalists said its representatives would be meeting next week to discuss the announcement. Unions this week have also started talks about pay increases for BBC staff, calling for an across-the-board substantial increase above inflation for all staff covered by union agreements. To mark the unveiling of the budget by Chancellor of the Exchequer George Osborne this week, Channel 4 launched a crowd-sourced map to track spending cuts across the country. The map was built by Ben Marsh, who previously created the UK Snow Map. The new cuts map works in a similar way, fed by information from Twitter, featuring certain tags and keywords. Ed Fraser, online editor for Channel 4 News, told journalism.co.uk why they decided to launch the online map this year.
The idea is to really kind of harness the power of social media and the wisdom of the crowds. And it's, it was really kind of an idea born out of collaborative journalism and where we can harness the audience to put put them in control and detail the cuts geographically across the UK. We're aware that there is a huge number of cuts at a local level taking place, which at a national level are not necessarily being reported.
Google has launched a new magazine aimed at its partners and advertisers called Think Quarterly. The first edition of the new title, which has been sent out to 1,500 UK companies, is devoted entirely to data. The magazine is also freely available online and on mobile platforms, with the website offering traditional web browser layout and a print replica e-edition. Google played down the idea of being a fully-fledged publisher, insisting that the magazine remains firmly aimed at Google's partners and advertisers, and there are no plans to start selling copies. And on the topic of data, tickets are currently being sold at a discounted price for journalism.co.uk's next event, News Rewired, Noise to Signal, which focuses on data in journalism, with sessions featuring data experts in both the editorial and the business side of the industry. Find out more and buy your tickets from newsrewired.com. For more on all the stories featured in this podcast and other news, visit journalism.co.uk.